Good evening. You're listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Tuesday, August 18th, 2015. And this is The Connection on Live Talk. I'm Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
And tonight on The Connection, we are discussing the lives of young Zimbabweans living in the diaspora.
Let's get connected on Twitter and Facebook using the hashtag @TheConnection. Our Facebook page is VOA Studio 7, and our Twitter handle is Studio 7 VOA. We can also get things going on WhatsApp, and the number is 001-202-465-0318.
And for those of you who want to speak on air, you can give us a call on the number 001-202-619-2077. Again, that number is 001-202-619-2077, and we'll call you back.
We are also streaming live on the internet at voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com, and voandebele.com.
Again, this is the Youth Forum, The Connection, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. And tonight, as you might have heard or noticed, I am joined by Studio 7's Sithandekile Mhlanga, who is filling in for my co-host Ntungamile Nkomo. And we are also gladly joined, finally on air, by our intern, Rungano Kaiyo. Rungano, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for being with us today.
I'm very happy to be here today.
And of course, as you heard earlier on, we'll be discussing young Zimbabweans living in the diaspora. And as many of you know, there are thousands of young Zimbabweans in many countries like here in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in Asia, Middle East, and right next door in South Africa. So today we want to hear from you young people to let us know how your experience has been living outside of home in the diaspora. Sithandekile.
Yes, siyalamukela kuhlelo lwethu oluphathelane labatsha olwe The Connections. Sithi thina lamuhla sixoxa ngokuphathelane labatsha abahlala ngaphandle kwelizwe eZimbabwe. Sitsho phela abahlala eGoli khona ngapha eSouth Africa, abaseNgilandi, abaseMelika, abaseNew Zealand ngapha kwelizwe. Njengoba sisizwa ukuthi kulezigidi zezizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala kwamanye amazwe. Ngakho ke usitshayele ucingo nxa ungomunye wabo usitshele ukuthi kuyini khona ngapho kwenzayo, injani impilo lakho konke nje ofuna ukuthi usichathekele khona.
Manerano mchirongo che The Connection tichange tichikurukura neve chidiki ku Zimbabwe nezve upenyu wavo vari kunze kwenyika pakugara kudzidza kana kumabasa munyika yavangasina kuzvarirwa tinoda kunzwa kubva kunemi experiences enyu mutifonerewo mutitumirewo ma WhatsApp mukwanise kupinda pachirongwa.
And Rungano, tutanga newe, you are a young Zimbabwean living here in the United States. Tell us more about yourself. Of course, we know you are a wonderful, extraordinary intern. You've been doing a great job. But tell us more about yourself.
Well, I moved to America when I was 14 years old, so I was in Form 2. And it was a culture shock, I would say. But zvikuru sase changa chiri changati chimwe chidano cheupenyu wangu which I was willing to accept. So ndakauya kuzodzidza ndakatanga ndiri ku high school and now nda ku university, saka you know.
And what are you doing at university level?
I'm studying financial economics.
Yeah, lapha balaleli si lo Rungano lam liyambona ukhona lapha sihlezi laye yena la uvela kwele Zimbabwe ubuye lapha kwele Melika eleminyaka njengoba ichilwe ngu 14 ukuthi azofunda khonapha usehlalile impela lapha kodwa la njoba libona ukuthi wabuya emncinyane la uzabe sitshela ngokuthi yena lapha wafika njani useke wathi fahla nje ukuthi hayi kwakungafanani lekhaya lokho kuthiwa ngesingisi culture shock ukuthi ufice izinto zingahambelani lalokho wakujayele ekhaya.
And those culture shocks, Rungano, talk more about that. How was that experience coming from Zimbabwe, being here? You know, of course, you're coming to Washington, D.C., so that must have been exciting. But, you know, how were the culture shocks for you?
It was very different. At first, just the way the kids interact with teachers, you know, a lot of people talk about that. I would say Kumba, we are more respectful in a way, but here it's more a freedom of speech. They get to say whatever they want whenever they want to say it. So in a way, It was very different. Of course, I didn't like adapt that culture, but yeah, so I managed to fit in and adjust well, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Yes, and how was your interaction with youths from other African countries and from Zimbabwe? Did you find many youths in Zimbabwe live here too?
Yes, actually, there's a whole community of young Zimbabweans who live here, and while in school, we were able to interact with other Africans too. So I would say there's a very strong community of young Africans here who network together.
Do you ever talk about Zimbabwe, talk about home, or you feel more American when
no,
you're talking with the other youths?
I always talk about home. Home is always home, you know. Kumba is always Kumba, so mm-hmm. I would say I have a strong place in my heart for Zimbabwe.
And what language do you use?
When you're speaking with the other youths.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you find that's the trend with other youths who have lived here for a long time?
Yes. For most of them, I would say, especially Wamakoya Vairavadiki, they try by all means ku dzidzira kanangwasina udzidza pavakauya, or trying to you know, keep speaking Shona, kana ndebele, kana rurimi rwavanenge vakadzidzira pavanenge vachikura. So I would say, in a way, they do try by all means to stick to the mother tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you there, Rungana. Of course, you'll be with us the whole show. Saga, we're very excited for that. And of course, we have a wonderful panel of guests that will be joining us, Sandikile and Rungana, mm-hmm. on the show today. So we can get things kicked off with one of our guests who is here in Washington, D.C. That is Admonish Deda, who is a student at Howard University here in Washington, D.C. And he's joining us live on Skype. How are you?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Tatenda. Hi, Rungano.
Hi.
thanks so much for joining us, of course, on the program, Sandiki, that you can start off with Deda, as they call him.
Yes. So can you tell us what you are doing here?
Okay. So I'm a senior information systems major at Howard University, and that's here in Washington, D.C. And I'm studying information systems, like I just said, but with a particular emphasis on cybersecurity and network engineering.
Yes, and what has your experience been at the campus? Are there some Zimbabweans there? And when you finish, are you thinking of going back home?
Okay, so we have a big African population on campus. But from Southern Africa, it's a very few of us, and from Zimbabwe specifically, I think there's about 3 of us, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, the Zimbabwean population is very underrepresented on campus, but there's a big African population, which kind of helps things.
Yes, and like I said earlier, for the course which you are doing, you feel that if you utilize your skills in Zimbabwe, it will be good for the development of the country too?
Yes. So yeah, you would ask me like if I had plans to go back home after I finish. Mm-hmm. Definitely there's no place like home. And I think I speak for most of us young people who are from Zimbabwe if I say that our desire is actually to be in Zimbabwe. We really didn't choose to be here, but yeah, so at the end of the day, when I graduate, when I finish, I really want to go back home and relocate at the right time. But definitely yes, because information technology is changing every day. It's not something that's just constant, so I feel that there's a lot that I could bring to Zimbabwe. We're in America, it's a first world country, and the technology is probably a bit more ahead than what they have in Zimbabwe right now. So I feel there's a lot that I could actually impart and bring back to Zimbabwe if I were to relocate.
Interesting mm-hmm. ways there. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. I want to ask Kuti, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced as a foreign student or mm-hmm. someone who came from Zimbabwe coming here?
I think the basic challenge faced by anybody who gets to migrate to a foreign country is being independent. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean that in Zimbabwe, you have family, you have a community, you have people who look out for you, who love you and care for you. And in most cases, when you relocate abroad, either you have maybe one or two family members who are probably there with you if you're lucky. But in my case, I didn't have any family here. So from being looked after to looking after myself, getting myself a job, getting myself into school, paying my own tuition, and still getting to support family back home, I think that was one of the biggest challenges. But with every challenge, I feel it builds character, you know. So it's a journey that I've been able to enjoy it, as it's had its ups and downs. But what you get to appreciate is the lessons that I learned during the way. And, you know, you get to appreciate that whole process.
Kuchimboti wudza anonzi ma myths nechirungu that you experience uri kuno ku America.
I think one of the myths that probably people back home have of life here in America is it's probably like what they see on TV, which is pretty much like, you know, everyone has money every day. We're in Miami partying every day. You know, it's not like that at all. People actually work so hard, and that's the part that you don't get to see on TV. Mm-hmm. That people really work hard to make a living and to put themselves through school and stuff like that. And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions or myths that I can actually think of right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was on Amazon. I'm not on that data. Lapa, ufunda kona pa Howard University. Uti yena. Wenza eziphathelane le technology njalo uyathemba ukuthi zizathuthukisa ekhaya njengoba ezahamba ayisebenza khona nxa seqedile izifundo njalo uyakhuluma nje ukuthi hayi lapha bona ababaningi abantu abavela kwele Zimbabwe njalo bona laba bakhona labo bayenza okuphathelane lentuthuko kukanti njalo uthi ekhaya utshona ukhumbula khona ngoba kulandawo efana lekhaya lanxa ulapha. Si kuluma njalo nje silo munye njalo esiyabe sixoxa laye emoyeni uNosizwe Moyo. UNosizwe Moyo yena uyi International Education Coordinator khonapha kwele Melika. Siyakwamukela kuhlelo mamoya.
Yebo njani?
Hayi siyaphila kakhulu. Ungaqala ngokusichasisela ukuthi umsebenzi wakho lapha eMelika ngowani, kuyini okwenzayo?
Okay. Well, I work in international development, as mentioned, and specifically in education. The organization I work in has projects in about 35 different countries, some including African countries. And mina ngisebenza ama projects asemazweni abakhuluma khona French. I have French language skills that I acquired from living in Cote d'Ivoire in West Africa. And so I coordinate the training for whether it's teacher trainings or curriculum development, anything education focused. Specifically right now, the countries I'm coordinating are Morocco, Jordan, and Mali.
Yeah, hi. Uzwakala uqeqeshile ngempela. Yeah, kodwa phonapho phakathi komsebenzi wakho ungasitshela ukuthi uqhuba njani lo umsebenzi uyahlangana labantu abaningi nabavela kwamanye amazwe abagoqela ele Zimbabwe njalo ubancedisa ngani?
Ngingathi abantu abavela emazweni amaningi iye ngisebenza nabo. Kodwa most times it's not Africans, which is very interesting. A lot of my professional work since college has been in international development, and specifically in African countries, but we are very much absent in development work that is in Africa. So I can say, mina lapha ngisebenza khona, yimi ngedum African ehofisini, speak less of abantu abamnyama.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And Nosizwe, I know you are very well traveled, so if we could have you speak in French, we would too. But chimbotarako nechi shona kutiri kuita chi kuno kwa America kwa Washington DC.
Oh, and in my defense, my family is, like, when we go to Kaya or Kumusha, we go to Mberengwan, as you know, that's Midland. So it's very much in Ndebele Shona, you know, dual language thing. So I'll be mixing and doodling and dabbling back and forth.
That's okay.
My Ndebele is stronger.
Yeah.
So what was your question again?
I just chingoti uzakuti kuna ku Washington DC kuita chi.
Oh, I'm a project coordinator for different education projects in French speaking countries. I don't know how to say that in
Spanish. no, it's okay. But, you know, being here in the States, what has been your cultural experience comparing to other places you have been and obviously comparing it to Zimbabwe?
America is, interestingly, it's home. I was born here. I just wasn't raised here.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to America in high school, towards the end of high school. But as much as I am an American, I identify first and foremost as a Zimbabwean. If you've ever met me anywhere, unless there's an explanation needed, if anybody asks me where I'm from, I am from Zimbabwe. And it is very different from home. I know Jada mentioned, you know, there's like a stronger sense of community and belonging when you're home because there's always someone there, which sometimes can be a nuisance. You know, it's hard to feel a sense of space when you're home. And I'll actually give an example of how I really got to experience that difference in my adult life. A few years back, I actually moved back to Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 2 years ago, I moved back. And one of the things I remember feeling very distinctly was that, okay, when I lived here in America, you know, you go to work, you go to your appointments, and you live your weekly, your day-to-day life, and it's very easy to be isolated. Like, you come home and no one's there, you make your dinner, you eat, and you go to sleep, and you wake up, and you do it over and over again. But interestingly, when I was in Zimbabwe, like, there's always someone coming to visit. Like, there were always visitors. Like, every 20 minutes, the doorbell rings. And I remember at some point feeling like, wow, like, on the one hand, this is very nice that, you know, there's always people around, but it's also hard to feel like, man, can I have my space? Can I just, you know, have my sense of, you know, mental clarity? Because there's always so much interaction. So it's a give or take situation as far as comparing being here and being in Zimbabwe, at least in my personal experience.
Mm-hmm. I thank you there. Just to hold on the line, and of course, we'll come right back to you.
Okay. Tukunzwa tine mumwe mutereri anonzi Chidoma Cheka ari ku Harare. Ari kuatenda chikoro ku African University. Chido, tino kuchingamidza muchirongwa. Oh, sorry, ndi Chidoma Koni.
Oh, wawandisa
Chidoma
program today.
Yeah, so Tina Chidoma Koni, who's on the line, she's attending Towson University here in Maryland. Chido, welcome to the program.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Please explain to us and tell us some of the challenges you face or faced as a student who came from Zimbabwe and started going to school here?
I would definitely say in the early days, especially since when I came, I was so young, and being around other American children, it was so strange for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have friends who I've had since I came here, and they're always like, wow, when you first came, you had like this really, really deep accent, and you know, the kids here, they're not mean, but they tend to tease a lot. So, you know, when they hear a different accent, it's something that, you know, they dwell upon, they talk about it, you know. So that was definitely something I experienced earlier. Nowadays, everybody's like, oh, you don't even have an accent. I wouldn't even know kuti ngiri. You're from Zimbabwe, and a lot of people have never met someone from Zimbabwe, so it's always, like, they're always in awe, like, oh, my God, never met anyone from Zimbabwe. There's all these Nigerians and Liberians here, and nobody's ever actually met a Zimbabwean. So it's a great experience for me, actually. I like it. I like being different because I feel like I'm always surrounded by a sea of people who are similar, who are the same person, or so it feels good to be able to be like, hey, look, you know, I'm from this place, you know, this is my culture. I like to introduce people to that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Chido, thank you. Chido,
achiti, pekutanga aizona zvichimunetsa ne wana wekunoko munoziya kudena wakanapa wana wadiki, but akazinga jaira, and she says that she's enjoying it here. So yeah.
Yeah, umlaleli obekhuluma lapho uChido Makoni ufunda khona pha eMelika obuya emncane ubesixoxela lapha ngokuthi yena ifika kwakunjani lapha esithi ikakhulu abaningi babe babaza indlela akhuluma ngayo ulimi lwabo. Lizananzelela ukuthi lapha eMelika ulimi olusetshenziswayo alufani kakhulu lolu setshenziswa ilolo selwejayileyo olwe singathi amakhiwa la ama-British kodwa lona ngolwe American njalo nxa sokuhlangene lesindebele kumbe isishona babengani abasazwisisi ukuthi sikhulumani. Ngakho ke uChido uthi kathe sikena usengcono usekhuluma ngcono lanxa abangani bakhe lokho bemkhumbuza ukuthi hayi uyakhumbula ukuthi wawukhuluma njani kodwa ukuthi hayi lokho akuseyinkinga ngoba usesikhupha ngamakhala kathe sesakhonapha. Kukanti nje uthi hayi kodwa uyazigqaja ngokuba ngweZimbabwe ngoba wehlukile kulabanye abantwana njalo lokhu ngakumyangisi.
Chido, thank you so very much. I know Ditine Chido Mache Kari Parunari Futi. But let's just quickly go back to admonish. Of course, when we talk about Zimbabwe, we can't escape the issue of the situation back home, in particular the political situation. And we know that you yourself are a young Zimbabwean who's involved in the politics of the country. What's your take on what's going on currently within Zimbabwe, and how does that relate to the way that you function day to day living here in the States?
I think the political situation in Zimbabwe, is it okay if I can mix both Shona and
yes, please.
Okay, so ndona kunge the political situation iri kumosha ino affecta munhu wese regardless of kutuno uri kupi uri ku America uri ku UK uri ku Australia wherever you might be in the world. Right now, since the GNU brought a bit of stability because there was a bit of political stability in the country and things seemed to get better. But since the elections, everything has been on a downward spiral. And now you see people are losing their jobs in record numbers because mainly my employers had been forced to retain my workers, thinking that they couldn't, dismiss those employees without my packages. But after that Supreme Court judgment, we see like most employers, including government departments, including like parastatals, started sending workers home. That just goes to show just how much the economy is suffering, if there's still an economy to talk about. And unless like something drastic is done or something has really changed in the way that affairs are being run in Zim, it's gonna be the same thing that's happening, where people are just leaving in numbers to go to neighboring countries in search of better lives. So it's really sad because I feel the leadership is not really concerned, because with everything that has been happening pretty much for the past 15 years in Zimbabwe, there is no excuse why, there hasn't been any effort on their part to acknowledge Kuti, we are failing here and here and there, and we need help to actually resolve the situation. So it's really sad and unfortunate. But what that also brings to us here abroad is a sense of responsibility in that we're responsible in making sure that we continue helping our families as much as we can. And we also continue helping with our intellectual, ideas and other things we can to help them, Marco Zimbabwe, come up with alternative means of surviving in that harsh economic environment.
So in that light of the economic hardships which you are talking about, what can you say about, what's your comment about the youth in Zimbabwe, especially the way they fail to access, say, scholarships to go to colleges despite their high pass rate and stuff like that? What have you observed, and what do you think is the way forward?
I think on the issue of scholarships, it's something that's very personal to me because I'm here. I'm a permanent resident here, but I failed to access some scholarships just to finish college, and I have to use other means, of course, to try and fund my education. So, if Zimbabwe cannot invest in healthcare, if hospitals are collapsing, if national infrastructure is collapsing, I don't think the government is even concerned about investing in things like scholarships for students to further their education. I think that's one of their, you know, it's at the bottom of their priority list, if I must say. So the only way, I guess, you know, students in Zimbabwe can possibly be helped, you know, with those with academic merit is by making sure that the international community, through like the various NGOs that they work with, they continue supporting those students who are academically gifted. I know there's a couple of, you know, organizations that are doing that right now that bring to America students who are excelling, like in athletics and those different sports. And I know Strive Masiwa has a scholarship program with Morehouse College as well. So if we can get like a partnership between the international community and those individuals from Zimbabwe who are financially able to, so they can come together and identify that talent, that academic talent, and you know, athletic talent that's in Zim, so that they continue to give youths these opportunities to study abroad.
Thank you for your insight. At least Tatenda is admitting that even mm-hmm. here, it's not all that easy get scholarships.
It is not.
But what other programs or opportunities for the youths do you observe or that you think they are very developmental in here in the U.S., which you wish the Zimbabwean government has, if any?
I think there's and this is the surprising thing. I've seen that there's a lot of Zimbabwean entrepreneurs, youth, who've been able to come to the U.S. and showcase, like, or get, you know, further development in their careers. I know, like, the YALI program has brought a lot of African, you know, young people to come to the States to gain a bit of experience and learn a bit more so they can develop their, you know, businesses and whatever they are doing. So if the Zimbabwean government at least recognized that they have young people who are talented, and sometimes they don't need government money, they just need resources that enable them to develop whatever they are building. So if the government could take that initiative to actually identify, not wait for Americans to come to Zimbabwe and say, okay, identify 50 people we can send to America for 3 months to go and learn or, you know, gain experience. If the government could actually identify their own talent and say, young Zimbabweans, we know we can give you jobs, but let's have a fair, like science fairs and stuff like that. Let's see what you can come up with, invent something. And then they channel those few resources that they have into developing that. I feel that Zimbabwe might not be as dependent as it is on other countries for such programs. Mm-hmm. They might be able to develop that stuff by themselves.
Thank you there, Admonish. Just hold on the line. Of course, I know Nosizwe is on the line. I'm sure she has input on that aspect. But of course, it is the time now where we say goodbye to our radio listeners as we transition over to our live stream on the internet. And of course, we are streaming on www.voazimbabwe.com. Sandekile, where else can they go?
Yeah, labo abasilalele emsakazweni weradio sesithuthakathesi sesiya emsakazweni webulenjini we-internet lakho lingahamba lathi lisilandele siqhubeke ngohlelo lwethu okweminye imizuzu elandelayo.
Vatereriwe vatakusi vatereriwe pa radio munogona utibate pa voashona.com.
Stay tuned.